The Stein Online Clubland Q&A begins right now.
Hey everyone, welcome, welcome. Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, November the 27th, 2025, and it is another Zionist occupation of the wonderful Mark Stein Club live Q&A around the planet. If you didn't know before, and as you can surmise right now, Mark is not hosting today, so I am the official guest host for the regular guest host. It's Laura Rosen-Cohen coming at you from Southern Ontario in the Deranged Dominion. Very, very excited to be here with you guys. Very honored. And it is an especially lovely time of year. I know that at Stein headquarters, they are getting really busy with Thanksgiving preparations. American Thanksgiving is just generally obviously way cooler than Canadian Thanksgiving. I've always loved the Thursday thing. I just think that's just so perfect. You know, not to do somebody's holy day on a Saturday, not to do somebody's holy day on a Friday, not to do somebody's holy day on a Sunday. And so good job, America, on Thursdays. That's the first thing that we will get clear. We're going to talk a lot about things to be thankful for. And we have a ton of great questions. Really good stuff to deal with today, and lots of things that have been on my mind as well. Excited. So let's just briefly talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. I did see something. I follow a lot of different people, different politics, you know, left and right on social media, and you know how the algorithm on whatever social media you use gets to know you and is sort of eavesdropping on you and seeing what you like and are interested in. It kind of feeds your thirst for all those things. So I do follow a bunch of Israeli sites and a bunch of Jewish stuff as well. And something came up on my feed that I thought I would just share with you guys, thinking of Thanksgiving. And it was a video clip, a little interview done on an Israeli podcast in Hebrew by one of the widows, somebody whose husband was a reserve soldier, a miluim soldier, they call it in Hebrew, miluimnik. And they had six children, I believe, either six or eight young kids. And her name is Hadass Levenstern. She's really just an extraordinary, extraordinary woman. And judging by how she describes her husband, he was also a very righteous, thoughtful, incredible man, very devout. And she's been interviewed a lot about the grief process. And she's also not a very typical person. She's very unique, and she has a really unique perspective on things. And so they were talking a bit about being angry with God sometimes, being angry at the universe for things that have been taken from you. And I'm sure all of us have had those times where we're angry at the universe, we're angry at God. We don't understand why we've been given a certain task, a certain challenge, why we've suffered certain losses. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. And sometimes you can pray and you can wish for things and you can manifest. Is that what they call it nowadays? Manifest. You can do all the woo-woo, all the praying that you want. And, you know, somebody in the comment section not long ago in the Mark Stein Club said God has three answers. It's either yes, no, or later. Anyways, I thought that was very cute as well. But she was talking about being angry about what was taken from you. But she said, I try, even in my grief, to realize that if something's been taken from me, that means that I had something, and I'm trying really hard, and I want to focus on the fact that God gave me these things, and I had them for however long I had them for before they were taken away. So you can't have something taken away without acknowledging that you had them before. And so I guess it's just a matter of timing, and we don't understand why certain things happen, and we don't know how long certain things are lent to us, either from God or if you believe from the universe. We have no control over that usually. And so we just have to appreciate the things that we have right now before they're taken from us or before they're gone. So I thought that that was a nice little note to think of in terms of Thanksgiving. So we can all take a moment and pause during our day and look around and just give thanks for the small things and the big things. I was just driving to take my special needs son for a swim before coming on air. Busy day for me, but all worth it. And he was listening to something on his phone, and this nice sunbeam came in, and he was smiling, and then reached over to grab me so that I could give him a big kiss on the cheek. And it was just a little moment, and I was like, this is so great. Like, I have to thank God for these great little moments and for the small things and the big things. So I hope that Hadass Levenstern's attitude about thanks and acknowledging what we all have resonates with you guys. And I thought that was really nice. And a big thanks, of course, to Mark Stein for allowing me to take his place in the chair, keep his seat warm, but actually, for real and not for joking, you guys, a bigger thanks from Mr. C, who really appreciates that I have been taken out of his environment for a good hour so that he can properly watch whatever soccer game is going on right now without any disturbances and without me nattering in his ear about various random wife things, the honey-do list, etc. So I think the biggest thanks for today comes from Mr. C. So let's all keep that in mind as well. All right, we have a ton of stuff to get to. I'm going to go through a couple things that I think are just so delicious, and I know they've come up in the questions already. We're going to get to them. So this is my little short list of things that I'm going to get to throughout the question period. We're going to talk about, Trump's picks, all his people and all the things. We can talk a little bit about Canada being doomed and Trudeau and his role in that. We can talk about Joe Biden going out basically with, like, I don't even think we could say a bang. It's more like with the possibility of World War II starting and going out with stabbing Israel again, once in the back. So big, big finish and jazz hands for Joe Biden. We could talk about Kamala going out basically with a burp and the munchies. Like, is she totally drunk, like, all the time now? What is going on with that woman and with the people who hate her so much that they put that clip on the air the other day? If you know the clip. And one other delicious thing we should get to, and I have a note about it to discuss with you guys, is the fabulousness of Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, the fringe epidemiologist. Is now going to be the big boss of the evil, evil, satanic, disgusting midget gnome known as Dr. Fauci. So we have good stuff. We have really good stuff to get to. That's my little to-do list, but we're going to dive right into your questions because they are piling up, you guys. Okay, let us go to Elissa Angel. Elissa has definitely hit one of my markers today. So Alyssa asks us, what do you suppose Justin Trudeau will do once he's out of office? How much longer do you think he'll last as PM? This is a really good question. You guys, the situation here in Canada, I know I was moaning all the time and you were following what was happening in Ontario during COVID, and really things have not improved tremendously, either in Ontario or Canada at large. We are deluged with, very belligerent migrants as well. Lots and lots of migrants have been let in. We have a very well-established Hamas contingent now in Canada. The economy is tanking. There are very unserious people in charge. And Justin Trudeau is just, he is a wacky bad man. Just a wacky bad man. Last week there were like pro-Hamas, violent, destructive riots in Montreal. Lots and lots of pro-Hamas demonstrations, very destructive. And while that was going on, Justin Trudeau, Nero, was partying with his teenage daughter and a bunch of other teenage girls in the expensive seats at the Taylor Swift concert in Toronto, dancing around, collecting Taylor Swift friendship bracelets, exchanging them with other teen girls, looking like a complete moron dancing. I mean, I don't know if he has any drug problems or mental health problems, but it was a very, very weird spectacle. I mean, imagine any other like 55, like middle-aged guy, even if he was a dad, doing that same kind of thing with a bunch of girl, tween little girls around him. Like, it's just very strange behavior. So there's lots of speculation about him and his sexual proclivities, his drug proclivities. But basically, he's not a very smart, kind person, and he's a terrible leader, and he's a terrible person, terrible policies, terrible people surrounding him. So I think in the best case scenario, he could not possibly hope for any kind of job in the private sector. But, you know, him, he's got the Trudeau Foundation, this grifty kind of foundation. So there's lots of money. He doesn't really have to be worried about money. He's going to be more worried about preserving status and I guess making his alimony payments or whatever and child support to Sophie Gregor Trudeau, who threw him out. So I think he'll be gunning somehow for some idiot to let him run like a nonprofit or an NGO, or maybe he'll be doing custodial services at the UN or something like that. The best that he can hope for is some ridiculously puffed up, you know, grifty kind of thing. You know, along the lines of how all these weirdos get big publishing book deals, and it's like a money laundering thing. So that's the best case scenario for Trudeau, and I hope we never hear from him again. He's a terrible man. He's really wrecked Canada. And the reason he's actually like staying in his position right now is because the far left NDP party has a coalition with him. They're propping him up. And, you know, they like to feed at that trough, so they're not going to do anything about that. So we have elections coming up. I suspect that there will be a conservative majority, and obviously Pierre Poilievre is much more qualified, much more competent, but I don't know how much damage can be reversed. Like, things are really crazy here. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, but I think he's going to last until he's actually turfed out in the next federal elections. Thanks for that question, Alyssa. All right, we will move right along to Fran. Hello, Fran. Okay, Fran asks, hi, Laura. When do you think Hamas will ever get that if they would hand over the hostages, they could raise their chances of talking about a ceasefire with Israel? Two, is that even possible? Are you surprised that Mexico now has a Jewish woman as president? And when does Andrew Lawton's next race for MP officially begin? And do you know who he has to beat and how things are trending politically in Canada? And are the people fed up with Trudeau yet? All the best to you and your family, Fran. So, okay, I think we've dealt a little bit with Trudeau and Canada. Yes, for those of you who don't know, our very own Andrew Lawton, mazel tov to our Andrew Lawton big time, because he won the competition, the race, to be the representative for his area, the London, Ontario area, to be the Conservative who will be standing in the next federal election for his region. So big congrats to Andrew. And so that's at the next federal election. So Andrew is the representative for his area, and the Conservative Party is headed by Pierre Poilievre. So I think that having clinched that nomination process, that Andrew has a most excellent chance of being a member of federal parliament. He's going to be an excellent MP. He is exactly the kind of guy who should be in government. And we'll keep our eye on it, and we will report to you if there's any news about that. So it's not really a race to be an MP, except for the fact that the elections are coming up. I think it's 2025. So that's about Andrew. Am I surprised that Mexico now has a Jewish woman as president? I really have been a little bit behind the curve about the Mexico story. I see that Trump has already kind of beaten down Mexico and Canada into submission with this tariffs. Mexico apparently has already agreed to halt these illegal caravans of migrants. But, you know, Mexico is basically, they're like, it's a Catholic nation. And, you know, one thing that Catholics and Jews really have in common, obviously, is guilt tripping. And maybe they just don't have enough guilt going, so they need like a Jewish mother at the head of Mexico. I don't know. I don't even know. Is she a lefty? I mean, Mexico is probably still easier to govern than Canada. So am I surprised? I guess, but I don't know if her being Jewish, like, I don't know if that's been a big thing on her own radar. So I got to do a little bit more research into that. And then I can come back to you about that maybe in the links, do a little bit more investigating about that. And what else about Hamas? Will they get it? The thing is, it's not a matter of getting it. I mean, Hamas is like this nihilistic death cult, and I suspect that there are some hostages still alive. I'm not super optimistic about how many and who. So I don't think we can even have like a rational discussion about will they get it. We're dealing with some obviously demonic human types, and I don't even know who the negotiations are going to be taking place with now, who's in charge. But some things that I have heard repeatedly from reputable sources are that it's actually, for the most part now, individual Gazan families that are holding the hostages and have been for some time. I don't have any answers. We're just going to have to see how this plays out, and hopefully, God willing, all hostages back to their homes, safe and sound. It's been a really hellish year, and let's just keep praying for all of them. Okay, let's move along and see what else we've got going on here. we have a Trudeau adjacent comment from DC Allen. DC Allen says, "Can you comment on Justin Trudeau threatening to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu under the ICC warrant?" He said, we stand up for international law, and we will abide by all the regulations and rulings of the international courts. This is just who we are as Canadians. That was a Trudeau quote from the National Post of Canada. So the thing is, I mean, this whole international ICC is such a joke. It's so pathetic, and it is such... it's so disgusting. My dad used to have a saying, like, the worst never happens, only the most disgusting. And I had a feeling, like, from the get-go that it was a bit of an overreach, and that even, like, when you see even the people working with Joe Biden repudiated it, you know that it was an overreach. So my understanding right now is, despite all the bluster, notwithstanding Justin Trudeau's idiotic, that's who we are as Canadian remarks, I don't think anything's going to happen with it. I think it's just going to be forgotten. They're just going to want to bury it because the embarrassment was quite great. And all these people are going to want to still hang on to their phony baloney jobs. So it's just really disgusting. And what was really wild was to think of how many countries were saying that even if Netanyahu was like on a plane and flying over their country, that they could send their jets to pressure the Israeli flight down and then arrest him. This is all absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, one of my son's caregivers is Iranian. And she came, after she heard the news, she came to do a shift. And she was like, just a minute, I want to understand. They want to go after the Israelis. They want to go after Netanyahu and Gallant, but not after Khomeini. Nobody ever said anything about Assad. Nobody ever said anything about Gaddafi. You know, she was absolutely infuriated. And I think that that's what we also have to keep in mind, is who's going after who, and who gets put on that docket, and who are they virtue signaling for? Those are things to think of. So I think it's going to all blow over. And I think a lot of people just wanted to make their last hurrah before Trump comes into power. Just a last little bluster, whether it's more missiles being lobbed from Hezbollah into Israel, or this ICC stuff, just a little bit more damage. Obviously, Joe Biden and the people around him decided that maybe they should just, you know, try to go nuclear, literally, and start World War III. So they really upped the ante. But we have to hope and pray that they are not successful in like igniting the entire world even more before President Trump is back in the White House. Please God. Okay, so let us see what we've got here. Oh, guys, I really appreciate all these great questions. Like, we are just We are going to rock and roll along. By the way, I mean, Trump's picks, really, I'll get your feedback as well. You can drop a note in the comments or into my links column tomorrow. But how about these picks? Like, who is not totally excited? There's only been a few that I think are kind of not great. But, you know, overall, every time I see these press releases, I'm just more and more excited. So nature is healing, people. Nature is healing. Okay, we have a question from Queen of the Jungle, which Mark would say, we can assume that maybe that is not the queen's real name, possibly, maybe. Queen of the Jungle says, hi, Laura, a few months ago, I found out via Anstress, blah, blah, blah. Let's try that again, take two. I found out via Ancestry.com that I am half Jewish. It is a sad and strange story that how this came about, but the man whom I consider to be my dad was not my birth father. During the end of her life, when my mom was getting senile, she would often tell me that my real father was someone else, and I didn't know whether to believe her or not. In any event, what advice do you have for someone like myself who's discovered her wonderful Jewish ancestry? P.S. I have not told my adult children about this. So this is all very interesting. And Queen of the Jungle, I want to let you know that you're definitely not the only one who has had, you know, life-changing revelations as a result of discoveries via Ancestry or via the 23andMe, those genetic testings. Like, some people discover really, really crazy stuff. So just to let you know, you're not alone in that. And so in Judaism, religion goes by the mom. It's a matrilineal religion. So, and other religions are patrilineal. For example, Islam is patrilineal. So if you are born of a Jewish mother, it doesn't matter, you know, what you consider you are now, you are Jewish according to Jewish law, halachically. So if your grandma was Jewish and your mom was Jewish, you are Jewish, which means that any children that you have are Jewish as well. If it was your father who was Jewish, that we are not patrilineal. I mean, some movements in Judaism, there's a reform movement, which actually they say that patrilineal is okay as well, but that's actually not the case according to Jewish law. So if it is your father who is Jewish, then you would not be Jewish, but I would definitely encourage you to explore, you know, the Jewish culture and history and his side of the family, where they came from, what they were about. You can learn a lot online about Jewish holidays, philosophy. There's tons of stuff in English. I would say as a start, you can try Aish.com, A-I-S-H.com. Aish means flame. It's like the flame of the Torah. Lots of great stuff there. You can try Chabad. They have tons of information about Jewish religion and about Bible and Psalms and history and all that. So it's always good to learn more. And I think your adult children, you know, would be probably really interested. So I think you just have to clarify like the half Jewish stuff. If it's your mom who was Jewish, and you know, you could probably even look into that a little bit more. If your mom is halachically Jewish, then you and your children are 100% halachically Jewish. So, and if it's your dad, then you get the benefit of culture and history and religion, and that's open to you. And in fact, a lot of Chabad centers, there's Hebrew classes, there's all kinds of lectures that are open to general public. One of our fellow club members, Fran, I hooked her up with the Chabad in her area, in her neck of the woods, and she's a very constant feature there volunteering. So lots of good stuff can come out of it, whether or not you're actually, you know, by Jewish law, Jewish or not. So I hope that you do explore that. And you can always drop me a line privately if you have any questions. I can steer you to somebody in your area. So it's just my full name at gmail.com in case you want to send a note to me off this board. Okay, moving right along. We've got Olga from Arizona. Hi, Miss Laura. Always lovely to hear you. Thank you so much. I am devastated by Rabbi Tzvi Kogan's murders. May his blood be avenged. It is better now that it's better that the suspects aren't native, but how befuddling that Turkey, of all places, helped nab him. Wondering if that means anything in terms of the bigger picture. Also meant to thank you for the Hannah Senesh piece last week. I've been seeing a lot about her. What a magnificent young woman. So thanks, Olga, for your comments. It's lovely to hear from you, too. I guess, I don't know if everybody heard that Chabad Rabbi Tzvi Kogan was murdered in the UAE, in the Emirates. He was a shaliach, an emissary of Chabad, like one of the founding members of the new Jewish community in the Emirates that was established as a result of the Abraham Accords. And he was kidnapped from the kosher grocery store that he founded and brutally murdered. It's a disaster. It's really upsetting, really sad. The suspects were apprehended. There are three Uzbeki guys. And I have to tell you, as upsetting as this all is, I actually am in some ways more confident in the UAE system of justice for murder than I am about some of the terrorists and murderers who've done similar things in Israel, because the Supreme Court in Israel is so deferent to murderers, even those with blood on their hands. And it's just an awful judicial junta there. So I suspect that the murderers don't have much time left in this world. I think that they will probably get the death penalty in the UAE. In terms of like them being, I think that they, what we know now, or what we think we know, is that they escaped to Turkey and were immediately sent back to UAE. And it doesn't surprise me, because Turkey, you know, I think that the Qatari leadership booted out a lot of the Hamas people a few weeks ago, and they went to Turkey, which was not a good thing, especially given that Trump is going to be in office shortly. And we all know that Qatar and Iran are the ones who are pulling all the strings in terms of the hostages and Hamas and the war with Hamas in Gaza. And, you know, maybe Turkey captured and sent them back as kind of a little bit of a peace offering, maybe, to the incoming Trump administration. I don't know. That's just my speculation for the bigger picture. We'll see. We'll see in the days and the weeks to come. Okay, we have a question now from Bill Decker. Dear Laura, thank you for hosting today's Clubland and for your weekly articles, which can horrify, educate, and encourage me all on the same webpage. Thanks. I hope it's like not so much horrifying, because I do try to get that balance. So, but I do appreciate your kind remarks. And always, as always, thank you to Mark for his infinite tolerance of me and all my eccentricities and uppity Jewiness, etc. So Bill's gone on to say, Mark has often said that when Democrats / liberals are elected, they are in power. And when Republicans / conservatives are elected, they are in office. During the recent U.S. presidential campaign, and now as President-elect Trump has embraced people from a wide political spectrum, such as RFK Jr., Musk, Ramaswamy, Gabbard, and so forth, do you think that having people who are not traditional conservatives in key positions will better enable Trump's presidency to make meaningful changes and exercise power effectively? Yes, I actually do. I am very optimistic about that. And I think it's really incredible, the coalition, these extremely successful and interesting people that have gravitated to Trump's star, not out of flattery, not out of sucking up, because they were really genuinely concerned with where America was heading and what that meant for the entire world. So I am delighted about the constellation. And, you know, it's really interesting, because they are former Democrats registered. I mean, you know, even Elon Musk voted for Obama twice, apparently. So it is an extremely encouraging coalition. And I do think that they will be very successful at cutting the fat, and also really doing a sort of a forensic audit and a deep dive into some of the massive disasters of the past 4 years. Like, it's not enough that the Biden people are going to be out. it's really important to know who were the people that made these certain decisions, whether it's about COVID and the vaccines and about Afghanistan and about Ukraine and where all the money went to, we sort of know, but who was approving it? You know, in whose pockets are still getting lined? I think they're going to do a purge of these the DEI stuff in the army and the military. I think Pete Hegseth is an excellent choice, notwithstanding the current attempt to completely ruin him. And by the way, Megyn Kelly did an excellent podcast where she went over you know, the accusations with Victor Davis Hanson really recently on her podcast, and also went through the police report. So if you guys want to duck into that, I'll try to make a mental note to post that in the links as well, because it was very instructive. So yes, I think that they are finally going to be in power and not just in office. And I think we're getting the sense of that already, which is what the excitement is about. You know, Trump is sending Trump and the people around him, obviously, the smart people, are sending very, very loud, very bright smoke signals out that they mean business. I think that they mean business. I mean, look at this. The idea that Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who was smeared for the Great Barrington Declaration and called a fringe epidemiologist, he is going to be in charge of the NIH. He's going to be Fauci's boss, okay? This is all remarkable stuff, and it is not the traditional way that Republicans have governed once they got power. So I always said before, like, I wasn't even sure if a Republican could get into the White House again, that the left, quote, would let it happen. And, you know, Mark's whole thing was the win has to be such a landslide that has to be beyond the possibility of cheat. It has to be bigger than the possibility of cheating. And that is what happened. And it is remarkable. So they have a mandate. I'm very optimistic. I was wrong about there not being another Republican, and I am delighted to have to be wrong about that. I am so happy. That's one of the things that I am most happy being wrong about. Totally wrong about there not being another Republican in the White House. So that's excellent. Good job, America. Way to go. And I like all of it so far, except for a couple. I think Dr. Oz is a really weird pick. Who knows what the considerations are about that? The whole Matt Gaetz kerfuffle is a bit weird. Not haven't done enough research about Pam Bondi. Is that her name? Yeah, I got to do a little bit more work on that. But overall, I think those are outstanding appointments, and they're coming like, you know, like rapid fire. So I think it's great. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, we have. I'll take a UK one, and then maybe we'll go back to some America stuff. Okay, so Alison Coyne says, "Dear Laura, the UK petition demanding another general election has surpassed 2 million signatures. Do you think that this will have an impact on Starmer and his cronies?" So that's a really good question. Thank you, Alison, for that question, UK question. So I guess I would say that if there's a certain number of signatures that need to be accumulated, and then that triggers a parliamentary response, like if it makes it necessary, then yes. But I think if you're asking if it will like send a message to them that they suck and that people hate them, I think that they'll be indifferent to that. Does that make any sense? So I think that 2 million is outstanding. It's really great, but it's actually just a great start, because things are so bad in the United Kingdom, and this Starmer is so horrific. The things that are coming out of his mouth are just so awful, and the positions, and whether it's about the farming, whether it's about free speech, the whole British Constabulary, you know, spending all their time going after people who have mean tweets, it's a disaster area. So I guess because I'm not up to speed on what the petition can actually accomplish in and of itself, I can't really say. So again, if it triggers a parliamentary response, meaning that they have to have some kind of parliamentary response, then I would say yes, great. But if it's only purpose is sort of like a show of displeasure and trying to shame these shameless people, then there has to be other stuff going on as well. Because they won't change. They think they're wonderful, they love themselves, and they will never relinquish power easily. Okay, Allison, I hope that is, those are my thoughts on that. Very deep thoughts. Okay, we have, let's see what we got right now. We have a question from Tinkerbell's Hitman. Now, that, I think maybe I'm in the wrong line of work. Maybe do you need more hitmen? Mr. or Ms. Tinkerbell, they, them, she, her. We can probably safely assume that this is not their real name, but we are going to take the question anyways. And it is a culture-oriented question. So Tinkerbell's hitman is asking us, how many jobs in creative arts will be ground down by AI? I believe it's called generative AI, and it's now capable of creating a wide variety of graphic works or acceptable prose in the case of ChatGPT, and the quote, deep fake process is both awesome and spooky. Check out the recent Star Trek short video that features flawless images of Kirk and Spock in an actually touching story. At the moment, this technology is a sophisticated plagiarism process, but one day it might get truly original. Computers are making are acquiring the ability to write their own programs, so maybe truly creative silicon chip geniuses will follow. Human creativity may be proven to a mundane algorithm rather than something divine, dethroned yet again. So that's a really interesting question. Thank you very much, Tinkerbell's Hitman. I call me old school, call me an old fogey. I do believe that there's really no replacement for humans with the human spark and the human spirit. So definitely, I think that AI is going to be, it's a big part of our life now, and it's going to be taking over many more spheres, including things that people didn't really think about for previously. Like there's I was just reading that a lot of people feed their laboratory reports, their blood work into various AI things and get much more detailed information, sort of a functional medicine perspective on their blood tests. And I know that there's other places where you can feed information into an AI or ChatGPT and they create infographics for you. So like graphic artists are going to be a little bit more out of business, but I find that there's a bit of a hollowness when I hear like songs or poetry that are created by AI. I still feel like the human spirit is something that can't be rivaled. It is the spark of the divine, and we'll see what happens. So definitely, it's not AI is not going anywhere, but I think we can still discern the divine human spark in human created materials. Yeah. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. I'm going to refresh my feed and hopefully you can also bear with me for a moment while I have a little bit of water. As I said, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh a lot, especially obviously when Mark would guest host for Rush. And when you listen to a show like that, you don't think about 3 hours of somebody being in front of a mic, but it's quite a humbling thing. And so I appreciate you guys all listening, even just for this hour. And so let me just take a little water break because we don't have a music break, and then we will get right back to the rest of your questions because they're really great. Okay, I am sufficiently hydrated and even sufficiently caffeinated for the rest of the show. Okay, we have something from Owen Morgan. Owen says, I went to Israel and UAE with Ezra Levant and Rebel News in September from last year. P.S. I love it when I can spot a Canadian accent. Owen, that's very sweet. Yes, I think I do have the Canadian accent on, especially on certain words, about, sorry. That sort of thing. But I'm really glad that you were able to get to Israel and the UAE with Ezra and the rebel people. That's awesome. If you feel like it, you can tell us a little bit more about your favorite places in Israel. I would be delighted to hear. It's always amazing to me when people go to Israel and support the Israeli people and the economy that way. So good on you and UAE as well. there's people who were saying like, oh, this goes to show that the Emirates isn't a safe place for Jews and whatever. I actually don't think so. I think it's still relatively safe. I think that there's going to be swift justice. I'm pretty confident still in the Abrahamic Accords. I hope it'll be the Cyrus Accords. And I definitely, UAE, Dubai, etc., is definitely still on my list of places that I really want to go to see and have discussions and meet people. Very interesting to me. So thanks for sharing that, Owen. And as I said, good on you. Let us know what your favorite places in Israel were. Definitely, I'd be interested in hearing. Okay, let's see what else we got here. We have Joe S. Joe S. asks us, even if we were fortunate enough to avoid getting the mRNA from the COVID bioweapon, they are apparently putting the mRNA in Ozempic and injecting into pork and other food items, appeal on the fruit, this new toxin in cattle for milk and other dairy food. Does it seem that even with all the knowledge we have, RFK Jr. bringing the information to the media and masses, that we are always caught flat-footed and they just keep contaminating our food and water and air? What's next? Right. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of pieces to your question. I think there's just a lot of greed in the world among humans, and at a certain level there's an insatiable greed. So even the pharmaceutical companies who had so much money from the COVID jabs that just kept going for more, and then they were like, boosters, let's boost people, and more. It's like a black hole of thirst for money among these people. And I definitely am concerned about the food sources, the food products that we have. Ozempic personally freaks me out entirely. I cannot see how this is a good thing. Obviously I'm not a doctor, and I've never, okay, I was very chubby. I was a chubby kid and I was fat when I was in my 20s, but started exercising and eating well and whatever. So I've never had like an obesity problem. So I don't really know how it feels to like chug along at obesity levels, and then all of a sudden this drug comes and they market it to you like it's really easy. You just inject yourself with this. But even one of the presentations or podcasts that I saw about Ozempic early on, I think it was Peter Atlas, Dr. Atlas. Anyways, he was saying that on average, Ozempic raises your resting heartbeat by 10 beats per minute. And if you know anything about nutrition and health and heart cardiac issues, you know that that's not really a good thing. And I have seen many people who have had drastic weight loss and they have that Ozempic face. It's very freaky, and honestly, I can't see that it could be a good thing to do this to your body. That's just me. And I think in general, I try to be very moderate about food things and trends and whatever, but I definitely think that the fewer chemicals you have in your food, the better off you are, the less processed your food is, the better you are. Generally try to follow for myself and my family. I don't buy like organic stuff. I don't even know if that has any real meaning, but I like my food to just be food. Fruits, vegetables, not processed, as many one ingredient things as I can. Like a chicken is a chicken and a potato is a potato. I don't know what's next. I think we just always have to be really vigilant, and I'm very glad. Again, thank God for Elon Musk and his purchase of Twitter, now X, for making sure that we can still talk about these things. And thank God for the proliferation of independent media where you can get information. So I think we're always going to be fighting certain manifestations of evil, and we can never let our guard down. That's what I think, Joe S. Okay, guys, it is now about a quarter to four. So we have a healthy 15 minutes or so that I can be with you, and I'm sure Mr. C downstairs is getting a little nervous because soccer games are like 90 minutes, right? But we are not going to schlep this Q&A out for 90 minutes, so too bad for him. It's okay. After 30 years, he can deal with it too. Let's see what else we've got here. Okay. We are going back to America, guys, and we have a question from Robert Fox. And Robert says to us, I'm really happy Trump won, but 4 years from now, does the United States revert back to uniparty tyranny? That's a good question, Robert, and I think you are right to worry about that. And kind of, on one hand, I feel like, oh, dude, like, don't harsh our mellow, like, let's just enjoy what we have. But you're right. There is definitely a risk that things could go to the crapper at the end of 4 years. I feel a little bit optimistic about that because I think that the Republicans are actually going to use these 4 years really productively. I think that they're showing signs of that. I don't think they're going to be complacent. I also was very encouraged, even while the election was going on, you know, how when there was some shenanigans going on in Pennsylvania, that they immediately got the lawyers involved and were much more proactive. And I have to be confident that there is a plan also for the coming years. I think that there's going to be some action on the mail-in ballots. I think there's going to be action on a lot of other fronts because these 4 years, I'm pretty confident that the Trump administration people and Trump himself know that these are a gift in a sense. Like this is really the last ditch effort to turn the ship around as much as possible. A big part of that, I feel, is how serious the Trump administration is going to take deporting illegal migrants. I think that is our bellwether for how serious they are taking it. So I would advise to keep an eye on that as one of the main subjects that will bring clarity to the seriousness of Trump's upcoming term. Because it's a huge mess. It's gazillions of people, and that has a trickle-down effect on the economy, on social currency, on neighborhoods, on cities, on everything. So let's see what they do about the illegal migration, the crime that has been imported into America. If that is taken seriously, then I think we have a lot more room for optimism. I really hope that that's the case, and I hope that obviously it'll be a model for Canada too, to get a lot of this, a lot of the sickness and a lot of the crime, this deviant behavior that has been just flowing into our countries, into the West, to deal with that is good. If that is taken seriously, that's going to be a really, really important first step for the adults taking charge of things again. Let's see what we've got here. Oh, we have George Perea. George, you have to one time spell that out for me, like really phonetically, because I think I keep mucking it up probably every time I say your name. So George, thank you for your question. So George says to us, it's a comment and a question, which we can certainly deal with. Laura, where was I? Another reprehensible trend taking place is that of victim groups all claiming they need to feel safe. I agree with you, definitely. I've read one article about, quote, gay giving, where the, quote, gay and trans community ignore their families and gather together to feel accepted and safe. They also want to avoid the crazy drunk MAGA uncle. Another trend was that women were gathering so that they can shriek out a primal scream of pain and frustration. They also complained that President Donald J. Trump supporters were watching them and waving their hate-filled Trump flags. The women thanked the police for keeping them, quote, safe. Meanwhile, in the real world, and in parentheses, a world not fueled by screw-top bottles of Chardonnay and the possession of multiple cats, the Trump transition team and all their families are receiving threats of violence and death. I blame climate change. Whoa, George, there is a lot to unpack in your comment and question as well. So let's try to take this apart in our last few minutes of the Q&A. So this business of feeling safe is just utter dog squeeze. I mean, I'm Gen X. I was born in 1970. And, you know, there was no safe anything space. We were in the good outdoors till it got dark. you know, on our bikes, sledding, whatever, till the parents called us in. We took a road trip, and my siblings and I sat in the back seat of a station wagon without seatbelts while the adults chain smoked in the station wagon, and we put honk right now signs. Like, the safe space is completely ridiculous. There's going to be a boomerang effect. I think it's starting to happen now because those people are not going to be able to earn a living unless it's with these phony baloney NGOs and graft and that kind of thing. So the trophy for everyone generation is going to get very, very tired soon. And you know, I think I actually would pinpoint the start of the development of this horrendous trend to Free to Be You and Me. Do you guys know the Free to Be You and Me? Like Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue and all those. If you actually go back to Free to Be and You and Me, and I'm sure that you guys know what I'm talking about, especially if you're of a certain age, those songs that we learned as kids, that is the start of all this transgressive, gender bending, a lot of really weird stuff. Go back and listen to it, you'll be horrified at what you've been singing. But in terms of like alternative Thanksgiving to alternatives to your own family, I think it's absolutely disgraceful and painful and disgusting how on the left they're encouraging people to what do they call it? Ghost their families, or to go no contact with families. Just drop your families because of political things. There's been parents that I've seen, left-wing parents, who go online and talk about what idiots their kids are for voting for Trump, and they're going to cut them off financially, like embarrassing themselves and their children permanently. It's online is forever about political things. And the thing is, it's so awful because, you know, family really is forever. Like, of course, you can choose people to be with, but it is so painful. And family usually ends up, unless there's something like truly horrific, like abuse or murder or rape or all these, or incest, all these like truly heinous, unforgivable things. You know, family is what you can count on in the end if you're really lucky to have a family. I mean, some people don't have a family. But speaking as a parent and speaking as somebody who's seen a lot of painful stuff with relations with people and married-ins and all this sort of thing. Like, but as a parent, if my children cut me out of their lives, I don't know really how I would be able to live. Like, it's the most painful thing you can do to a parent. Like, other than bereavement, you know, to be cut out of your children and your grandchildren's life, especially for something as stupid as politics, is absolutely horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I mean, we really need the left to be pressured into taking on more of a spirit of forgiveness. That is completely absent. They have no forgiveness. They do not give people a chance to repent, and they are tearing apart families. But that's what they do best. That's what they do best. You know, trying. That's why the single motherhood that is celebrated, and the culture of death and the abortions. Everything's very nihilistic. Everything's anti-family. So I think as we go forward, we have to really celebrate families. You have to celebrate children and having babies. And then your babies will want to have babies. You know, we have to get back to celebrating family and creation and children. That's a big part of it. As for all the videos of like the crazy white liberal ladies screaming, I honestly cannot get enough of it. One of my kids just has like a regular, you know, chat with me about the latest ones. It's really funny. It's so pathetic. Like, I wouldn't laugh at people if somebody was like genuinely mentally ill, but the angst of Trump derangement syndrome is truly hysterical. I cannot get enough of them. And yes, definitely, it's for sure climate change related. Obviously. Okay, we're gonna take probably let's see if we've got a couple more quickies because we are getting to the end. Oh, Alyssa Angel has pointed out that Fauci retired. He's no longer at NIH slash NIAID. We're paying a fortune for his security still, but he's no longer employed with the US government. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you, Alyssa, for that note. I still think it'll be very instructive and very important to do, as I said, like a forensic audit of the emails and everything. Let's get some more information, and hopefully With Dr. Bhattacharya at the helm, he will be able to prevent such madness from ever happening again. Let me just take a quick sip of water, guys. And as we get a little bit close for our wrap up. And I see Olga has also added a little comment just further to my take about Turkey and how the murderers of Rabbi Kogan went to Turkey and were extradited back to the UAE. Olga says she likes my take on Turkey and on the UAE's swift judicial system. Good. And as for Trump picks, I don't want to tamp on anyone's jubilation, but there are some truly horrid ones. So I agree. I definitely think that there's some really weird stuff. Olga mentions that Bondi was the one who pushed the George Zimmerman prosecutions, and Brooke from TPPF was one of the architects of jailbreak, and of course, Dr. Oz. I mean, really, Oz. Yeah, look, it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be some flubs, and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I think overall, the direction is good, and the picture is good. So, Olga, we've just got to wait and see. We're definitely all, and when I say we, I mean like the Western world, we're in a better position now than we were even a few weeks ago. There's more hope, I think. Like I said in the beginning, we have still so much to be grateful for and thankful for. So let's hope that Trump will just stay the course. There's going to be a few lemons. There are going to be a few lemons, but that can be course corrected as well. I think overall, he's done a magnificent job of taking the reins and taking the power seriously. I guess we'll take, I think we have time. Alyssa also has pointed our attention to another story that's very interesting. So we'll go back to an American story. And then if we get any other ones before we have to sign off, then we'll take those. And if not, then we'll close it out shortly. Thanks again, everybody, for being here with us today. We always appreciate you tuning in live or listening to us after you've downloaded it. And just for being members, thank you for your questions. All the members of the Mark Stein Club, we really appreciate you being members of the club. It is really a tremendous way to keep supporting Mark and all his battles and all the content that you get on Stein Online. So thanks to everybody who's listening, and obviously those of you guys who are members of the club, we really appreciate it. Okay, so Alyssa Angel has dropped in a comment. Did you see that the Georgia USA mom who was arrested and faces jail time because her 11-year-old son walked a mile to the store? This is all rural Georgia. The kid has gone there before. It was daylight. It wasn't a mile of highway travel or anything dangerous. Gen X parents would have been locked up if they had to monitor us like kids have to be monitored today. Yeah, that is a really awful story. There's actually, you know, a whole like movement about free range parenting. I think her name is Lenore Skenazy, and they intervene a lot in these cases. So this is crazy overreach, obviously. And it seems to me really wild that it happened in Georgia, that the mom was arrested. 11 years old, I mean, in biblical times, you could have probably had like two or three kids by the time you were 11 years old. So let's get real. Kids can do a lot of things at 11 years old. It's crazy that kids are being babied, and that babying and this ridiculous overreach of, you know, not letting kids be alone or babysit other kids and have any responsibility. That's why we get this sucky, wimpy, awful, yucky kids who can't do anything and who want safe spaces, and they become sucky, cringy adults and have sucky, cringy lives. So we have to put a stop to all that. Georgia, I thought people in Georgia were like sort of more, you know, more New Hampshire-y, like don't tread on me kind of thing. So I don't know what's going on, but they've got to put a stop to that crap. And really the best remedies, as usual, for that kind of overreach and ridiculousness are it's sunlight, you know, just being able to publicize those stories and embarrass these people. I think it's really important to push back on all that stuff. Okay. Let me just see what we got here. Well, I think I'll probably follow that story a little bit more because it's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, what have we got here too? We'll go a little bit longer because I see we're getting some last minute comments and questions. So I'm going to try to power through whatever we can. We have something from Doug Cole, who says, "Happy Thanksgiving to you, Laura. While I love hearing Mark opine on various subjects, it's always a pleasure to hear your insights and observations." Well, thank you very much, Doug. Say that fellow that the bad orange man elect has nominated as border czar has been delightful to watch and listen so far. Exactly what the border doctor ordered, in my view. What are your thoughts? Do you think he can pull off what he says he will do, or is that just too good to be true? From Doug Cole. Doug, I agree with you. That guy, I love that guy. I love him. That was another thing that we were sending around in my own Cohen family chat. That guy, amazing. I hope he gets it all done. The way he talks about it, I feel like he's serious. The way he talks about the kids, the way he talks about the rape victims, the way he talks about crime, I think he's a serious guy. And he, as far as I'm concerned, he should go to town. He should get her done. I hope he does. He seems like a very serious person, and I hope he gets it all done. What can I tell you? I think, like I said before, the migrant crime and the number of illegals and deporting and using the army and all that, I suggest we all keep an eye on that particular that particular topic and that particular sphere, because it is so indicative of whether Trump and his administration are going to be in office or in power, like Mark says. Okay, I see we've got a couple of straggling things in here. Oh boy. Okay, guys, let's take three more, and then we will, I think three more, and then we'll call it a wrap. Okay, so Eric Dale says, Eric, I'm still the queen. That's lovely. Eric says, "Hail Laura, queen of the Q&A, long may she reign." I do love that. What can I say? I do love that. You make me laugh. "What are your thoughts on the Maori in New Zealand? There's a video going around of a woman tearing a treaty between the Maori and the British in the New Zealand Parliament in protest. Is revolution afoot in the land of the Kiwis?" I did see that video. I thought it was just, it was outrageous. I am actually a very big fan of the Maori. I love the haka. Like, when I see them doing the haka, I get completely verklempt. Like, I am very emotional. They did it for Israel. They did it for, I've seen it on a number of occasions where they do it for like people who are going on to careers, and I find it so moving. So, but this particular Maori chick, I think she sucks. So that's basically my thought on that. I did see it and I thought it was just gross. And I don't think there's been any repercussions from it, but yay Maori, yay haka, boo lady who did that tearing up thing. Okay, let's see what we've got here. We've got Hart Leonard. "Welcome back to the mic, Laura. For news on Israel, I usually go for a variety of podcasts, including JNS with Caroline Glick and Jonathan Tobin." Yes, I like them both very much. Aaron Cohen's podcast, I don't know him, Michon Shiloh with Jonathan Pollard. Jonathan Pollard, yeah, I know, it's amazing, right, that he's doing that sort of thing. "Mr. Tobin and Mr. Cohen have welcomed the Israeli Hezbollah ceasefire agreement and have particularly lauded PM Netanyahu's wisdom in negotiating a deal in which Israel fully possesses the ability to immediately start hostilities should Hezbollah violate any tenets of the agreement. Mr. Pollard, on the other hand, has deplored the ceasefire in the strongest terms, etc." I greatly appreciate your assessment here. Okay, so this is all stuff that's happening really very, very quickly. I have read a little bit about it. I'm still kind of trying to settle myself. Mr. C has very strong opinions about it, which is basically like, he was saying, do we want a forever war in Lebanon as well? And we don't. We, meaning the Jewish people, meaning Israel. Ben Shapiro had some thoughts on it that, you know, basically Israel was being strangle-held by the Biden administration on their way out without getting enough weapons. And this is kind of like a placeholder until Trump comes in. And the real head of the snake is Iran. So that part I agree with. I do take very seriously what Jonathan Pollard says on things, and especially Caroline Glick and also Jonathan Tobin is very smart, but also people like Natan Sharansky, because they've been through totalitarian regimes, they've lived through prison, so I think that they have a certain special sensitivity and wisdom. I don't think we have enough time right now to really discuss what's happening, and I think we have to let the cards fall a little bit about this, but I'll try to pull some thoughts or at least some opinions together for my links column tomorrow. Obviously, this is all happening, you know, basically in real time right now. But I agree with you, and if I can think of other Israel resources in English that I like, then I will pass them along as well. Okay, and let me see now. Okay, we've got. Okay, this is actually probably a good. A good way to end, and with this one last question/comment, which goes back to Mark. So we're bringing things full circle. And really, if there's anything else, guys, do feel free to either pop a question into the comment box, even after we've finished, or send me a note or put a comment on the links column tomorrow, and I'll do my best to address your comments and questions or anything else that you might be interested in the coming days and as I'm able. So we're going to circle back to Thanksgiving and to Mark with this last question, and then we will close things out. So Aaron Everett writes, "Happy American Thanksgiving. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how media will stake out their next move to eliminate the populist type media of the people. Based on Mark's lawsuit and Ofcom, it would appear that they will continue to use government mandate compliance to the propagandists. Most people realize that their news and info is much better without the gatekeepers. What does the fight look like from here?" Obviously there's a lot to be said about what Mark is specifically going through in the UK, but as we all know, it's part of a broader phenomenon, the desire for censorship, that totalitarian desire to censor what we are able to read, and obviously to censor what we can think and what we can talk about. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Again, I would take it back to the hopeful thing is that, Elon Musk purchased Twitter, now X, and we're able to talk about these things, that there's Rumble, and that we have the Trump administration and people like Joe Rogan coming on board, all veering towards the free speech perspective. So I think there's some hope, and I hope that all these independent media will continue to get stronger. Obviously, they need to be supported by us, because there was like a lot of money circulating in the traditional media. That's why they feel so threatened. Like, for example, in pharmaceutical ads on American television, it was like a self-serving monstrosity. And now that's threatened. So media is going to be changing, and it is going to be really important to support independent voices, to support X, to support people like Mark. Those are all pieces of this puzzle about how we keep things as free and open as possible. But don't think for a minute that they're not going to be continually after us, continually trying new ways to shut down free speech, to shut people up. So keep being courageous, keep being vocal, keep being unafraid. Being afraid and is really bad for the human soul. So do what you can and not what you can't. There's hopeful signs, but don't think this is going to come. The fight for freedom of speech, which is the ultimate freedom that we need in order to be able to discuss things and to refine ideas and reject some and accept others. We need freedom of speech. So as a last parting note, I thank you, Aaron, for that question. Please continue, everyone, to support free speech, be courageous, support the people who are fighting the battles, Mark and others included. And that is the best way to be proactive against the inevitable assaults that we are going to be facing. It's just really, it's going to be a tough time. And so buckle up. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be bumps in the road. But overall, let's try to be optimistic where we can, cautiously optimistic. And at least for today and at least for this weekend, let's all be thankful for what we've got. So I'm going to sign off now. It was really a pleasure to be with you guys, and hope to be here again sometime, and hope that Mark is enjoying a good Thanksgiving prep with his family and friends and his entire crew. And with that, we're going to sign off, and we will speak to you again another time. Take care, guys.
Mark Stein's Clubland Q&A is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. All rights reserved.